Ron Van Dam. He's classy, sassy, and a little bit brassy. You thought I was going to put gassy in there, didn't you? Well, you know, it wouldn't be wrong, but let's just leave that for now. You're listening to The Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's The Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you very much.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Hey, welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. Don't argue with me. I'm not in the mood. This is the Friday weekend edition of the program. Doesn't make it any better than the other ones. I'm just saying. You know, this time that we spend with each other is absolutely ridiculous. Did you know that? There's no point. This is not a information news program. Don't get it wrong. Although we do expose many facts and figures during our interviews sometimes. But me talking to you on this level, there's nothing really there. This is what we call in the business idle entertainment. When you understand how terrible and disgusting the world is, and you listen to this show, your reaction should be, oh, okay, I get it now. That's enough theme music. All right. How are you? You see, I really care about you. Other talk show hosts, they don't even know who you are. Me, I care about my audience. I don't even know who you are, and I still care about you. You could be a horrible, horrible, disgusting person, and I still care because I need all the listeners I can get. That's not true. I actually have enough, and I don't really need you at all. So, this is how I start the show out, by the way. What I do is I insult my listeners, and we form a bond. It's incredible. I don't know how it happens either. Anyway, how are you? Good to be with you there. What are we? Is this November or what is this, August? I don't even know. I live in the northeast quadrant of the United States of America, in the Boston area. I'm not bragging. I'm not proud. It just happens to be where I ended up. There's a little pin in the map where I live. As a matter of fact, if you go outside, there's a gigantic pin in my backyard, just like it is on the map. And here's the deal here where I live. Temperatures this weekend coming up, where we're in it, are expected to be near 80 degrees. Let me reiterate. I live in the Northeast in the Boston area. It's coming to the end of the first week of November. 80 degrees outside. Is there global warming? Perhaps. Maybe. I mean, seriously, 80 degrees the first week of November? What are you kidding me? Is this a joke? No, it's not. And you might say, Ron, that's cyclical. It's cyclical. This happens every like 100, 200 years. It's not a big deal. I mean, every once in a while, you'll get a freak day in the winter or the fall, whatever this is. And I respond by saying, no, it's not cyclical. We're breaking records. I don't want to be in the breaking record time of life when the records that are being broken indicate that something's seriously wrong with the globe. Oh, the days when people thought the world was flat. That was adorable, wasn't it? If you sailed too far into the ocean, you would fall off the edge. I don't know how stupid people really were. They were just uninformed, or they didn't have any mapping going on. I didn't have satellite. There are some people, listen to me, just shut up and listen to me. There are some people still living on this planet who think that the world is flat, and the people that think the world is actually round or roundish are actually just a thing. It's just a thing. Yeah, it's a hoax. It's a hoax. It's a hoax that the world is really flat. Come on, man. There needs to be another planet with the stupid people on it. I swear, if there was only another planet we could put these people on. And I'm not talking about disabilities. I'm talking about regular, really fully capacitated people being incredibly stupid. There's no place for them here. They need to be, come on, man. We need to find, we gotta step up this Mars probe thing. We have got to start building CVS's and McDonald's and Dunkin' Donuts and Starbucks. We got to start building these things on other planets so the stupid people will just go there and live. Let them build their own societies up there and have their children and make believe that the planet that they're on is flat and all that stuff, and come up with all their conspiracy theories, you know, like that. Just let them go somewhere and do that. But don't do it on the planet in which I also live. There should be a nice planet. That can be this one. There should be a nice planet, and there should be a planet that isn't so nice, and let other people live on that. The nice planet would be full of people that care about each other, support each other, and treat each other with respect, and would actually care about the planet on which they live to make it as fruitful and beautiful and healthy as possible. That would be a nice planet of people. They'd have that in common. The other people that don't, that are just out to destroy the other people, they need their own planet far away. Maybe not even Mars. Maybe some galaxy where they can't figure out how to get off their planet. Let them just have a good time over there, you know, like watch, binge watch Netflix shows all your life. Just go, you go do that. You go out and destroy each other and wage wars upon each other, and you have a good time doing that, you know. Just go out and destroy each other. You need your own planet. I will stay on the planet of goodness. That sounds like separation, doesn't it? And I got to tell you, there comes a point where separation is not a bad idea. Not a bad idea. And I'm not talking about political views or anything like that. I've lived a long time, for 700 years now. I've lived a long time, and there have been many Democratic presidents and many Republican presidents and many Democratic kind of Congresses and many Republican kind of Congresses. Lived through those. But never, to my knowledge, did I live through a period of time where a congressperson or a president or people who step up and serve their country were ever using rhetoric like, I'm going to destroy the other side of their own country. I've never heard that before. There was always that line. I've never heard of politicians saying, my only purpose in being a politician is to destroy the other people, make sure they can't do anything. And they're making sure I can't do anything, so nothing's being done. And the American public just sits there and goes, okay, whatever. No, you're supposed to stand up and say, I ain't putting anybody into any kind of leadership position. It's an asshole like that. The idea is not to destroy your own country. It's to make it better. We can't make it better without destroying the other people. No, you're not getting it. You're not getting it. You're just not getting the deal. You don't understand. You're supposed to bring people together, not divide them. I've used this phrase before. People have been saying this, you know, for the longest time. United we stand, divided we fall. I don't know why you don't get that part of it. We can have different opinions on things. I mean, as different as the abortion discussion. I mean, that's like, wow, that's like really different. But can't we come to some kind of like middle ground here? There's middle ground on everything. I don't care what it is or how hard and fast you are on a certain topic or a belief. There's middle ground on everything. And if only we spent our time finding the middle ground, we'd be good. But we don't be good. It's so ironic because I remember that Russia was interfering with our elections. You know, they even said they were at this point. They don't give a shit anymore. They even admitted it. They want to destroy the United States. I mean, okay, those are the people don't belong on this planet, right? Okay, we get that. They want to destroy. They want to make sure that their goal is to divide us. Well, congratulations, you did it. And here we are. Just saying, okay, I guess you divided us. Good job. You win. What? You know, you're supposed to stand up and say, no, you can't divide us. You can't divide us. And yet, what are we doing? We're dividing ourselves. It's just so stupid. It's like a football game where your team comes running onto the field with their shoelaces untied. Why don't you tie your shoelaces?
I don't know.
You're going to lose the game.
I guess we will.
How stupid can you be? I mean, I don't know if you like Joe Biden or don't like Joe Biden. He happens to be the president at this particular time. He said one thing that I couldn't argue with, and that was, I want to try to bring everybody together. I want to reach both sides of the aisle, assuming there's an aisle down the middle of the Congress thing. I want to reach across the aisle and discuss things, and I want to not divide us. And Joe, I can't argue with that. I can't argue. Didn't work out because the other side doesn't want to do it, and his side doesn't even want to do it. So, I mean, it's pitiful. It's just pitiful. It's like this country is like a bad marriage. And it's up to the peoples, that's you and me, to stand up when it's time to vote or any time, even when it's not time to vote, and say, no, this is a country of peoples. You guys get it together. Stop getting so power hungry. And stop serving the nutcases, the extremes, and find some middle ground. We call it middle ground. Extremes don't work. Middle ground, we can go there. All right, that's enough of my pontification for today. I do have an interesting guest. You know, what shapes people is childhood. And I have an author who is trying to do just that, shaping the minds of the young kids to be refreshing for a change. And that would be a wonderful idea. So we're going to do that. But first, the short commercial break, and then more program.
The Ron Van Dam Show is made possible by generous contributions from listeners like you. Except you, Jerry. You're a turd. We're sending your money back to you. Don't ever send money here again, Jerry. You know perfectly well why. Final warning. You haven't forgotten. We haven't forgotten, Jerry, okay? Like $14 was gonna smooth things over with Ron. No, Jerry. Just fucking no. We will send people to your house. For everyone who's not Jerry, thank you. And we return you to the Ron Van Dam Show. Turn off the podcast, Jerry. We mean it.
Gisela Bankford is here with us. There's a series that you may be interested in that she has developed, and it's award-winning. So this is cool. And it talks about the values of friendship, courage, and resilience to children. This is something that we can all use these days, I guess, huh?
I would say so. Hi, Ron.
It's good to be with you. What prompted you to get into this series?
Well, it was at the beginning of the pandemic when our granddaughter couldn't come. I was talking with her on the phone and told her some stories, encounters I had in the wild. And she said, Nana, you should write this down. You should write those stories down. And I thought, why not? As a family heirloom. And I started to write. And then my neighbor, she quit working by Pixar and has started her own business. And hired an illustrator, and she said, you should have her draw some, you know, illustrations to your story. And I did, and suddenly it looked more like that could be something that could be published. And I tried, and I got really quick publisher interested in, especially the questions I'm asking. Has been something that was eye-catching.
Yes.
And the questions I actually asked were meant for my granddaughter to have a discussion. You know, what would you do if you're in that situation? Yes. Or do you have secrets? Or, you know, certain things kids usually don't just open up. But when it's in a story and they're all interested in it, and then you ask questions, they're more likely to answer honestly. And many times it's so different than what you expect the answer would be. And that's what I love so much about kids. They're still so untinted, fresh thinking, not like us. We have been taught to look at this at one way and at one way only. And, you know, many times, years later, we've been taught that was wrong.
There's a certain innocence to children before they get hardened by the world, which actually is most of their lives is the adult, not as much the children. But it's amazing how those short number of years as a child fashion your entire sculpture for your whole life. It's kind of weird.
It is, you know, it's where you learn empathy. I think that is something in our world is missing. Just to think for a moment, to walk in someone else's shoes and how that feels, and really be able to get that. Because, you know, not everybody has every day a meal on the table.
Correct.
And it gets harder and harder, you know. I mean, definitely.
Yeah, it's all a question of what you go through in those earlier years that never really leaves you. Even though it may not surface, it's always in there somehow. Some people don't even recognize it. It is fascinating. What you said at the beginning was fascinating to me, because children can be rambunctious, obnoxious. I'm sorry I'm going the other direction, but I mean, that can actually happen. But yet, when you stop and put a book in their hands and you read it with them, or you answer questions about it, the personality changes on a dime, and they become very sweet, very, very knowledge thirsty, very tamed. It's amazing how that turns on a dime when you put this implement into play.
And they do get drawn into two, you know. And mm-hmm. I think sometimes we forget imaginations. And it's a great asset mm-hmm. if you have that.
I still have it.
It does give you wings. And in this story, it's a set of wings, four paws, that forms an unlikely friendship.
Yeah.
And they go for an adventure, even though the storyline is fiction. The animal behavior are all factual. I do read about it and I bring it in a way that it's not like a lecture. It's more like in a fun way they learn a lot about
mm-hmm.
the wild animals, wildlife, and their surroundings. And then I have real life events in there from me. Like, you know, when I met my husband, I'm from Switzerland.
Yes.
And when I met my husband, not everybody in the family was like, yay, awesome, as a foreigner, you know. Yeah. It was, can't you just found a good Catholic American girl? Does it has to be a foreigner, you know?
Life.
Or, you know, you get
wow.
different views. And wow. I respect that. That's just who we are, you
That's
know.
Strange.
Not everybody can say, oh, welcome to someone strange. Me personally, I don't meet a stranger. I always love to talk with people of every background, you know, because that what we're all those colors. It would be sad if we have only black and white to draw. It has to be all the colors, you know. That makes a picture fun.
Good point.
That makes a story fun.
Good point.
And
yeah,
that's what the series is about. It's
very nice.
It's Wolfie's Adventure. The first one is an unlikely friendship. And then Wolfie's Adventure Away From Home is them on their journey together. It's that brown rat and the red shoulder hog who encounter many wonderful experience with new friends
mm-hmm.
and scary ones. And along of that, they learn a lot about their surroundings, the wildlife, and life experience. Not to be always worried. Sometimes it's good to have some trust.
Sometimes when people earn them.
Yes.
Yeah. there's another layer to this besides what you're talking about, and that's respect for animals and bringing animals into the life cycle of
yes.
all living things. And I've always viewed anybody that loves animals and protects them and cares for them has got to be a good person somewhere in there. So
I agree with you.
Yeah, and I think that's an underlying connection that helps get established here at a very young age, and I that's only positive. I love that.
Very, very important to be able to care for someone else than just yourself.
Yes, yes.
I think that is such a foundation of life. And that's, again, it's empathy, right?
Yes.
But, you know, when you read up about those animals, you are amazed about the superpowers they have.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not seen as heroic, you know. We always think we need those superheroes, Spider-Man,
yes,
Batman.
Yes, yes.
But then if a child has a dog at home, it doesn't realize that this is a superhero.
Mm-hmm.
He alerts when some stranger comes.
Yes.
He can found when someone gets lost.
Yes.
He can alert someone when they have a seizure.
Mm-hmm.
He can detect cancer.
Mm-hmm.
He can guide a blind person. He can be the best friend
mm-hmm.
you ever had. He takes your secrets and keeps it. And there's so much more to it. And we forget
yeah.
the abilities they have
mm-hmm.
are amazing. They can smell 100,000 times better than we.
Mm-hmm.
it's just amazing. And that's just a dog. And then you go to cats, and I mean, everybody has certain abilities. We have a little newt in California, and he can destruct a foam for not getting burned.
Oh.
How cool is that?
Wow.
Right? Wow. And regrow organs. So, you know, we always think we're on top of everything, but if you look at the animal world, they really have it together.
They don't sit in chairs all day and watch TV, do they? Yes. I've never seen maybe a couple of dogs do that, but not a lot. Not a lot. It's a wonderful series, and it's great. Do you recommend what is the age group recommendation on this?
Well, you know, it's been said 6 to 9, mm-hmm. but I have been told from so many adults who read it that this is an ageless book.
Yeah.
That every parent should actually read it too with the kid. It sparks really fun dialogues. Mm-hmm. It opens. I had a grandmother telling me that she found out when she was reading this book with him that her kid got bullied. Uh-huh. Because of one questions I have in there, and that kid has never told her nor her parents that it's been bullied at school.
Yeah,
but then it could open up with the questions in there.
Very nice.
And I think, you know, dialogues are so important, and sometimes we're all so busy, and when you read a book together and you listen to the answers they have for those questions, it can really go beyond the book, that you talk suddenly about some things you have not, or you would not have addressed if not for the book.
Perfect. Is there a website in this day and age of social anxiety?
Yes, you can get the books actually on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. You can get them in Walmart, Target.
Mm-hmm.
I have a website. Mm-hmm. It's wolfiesadventure.com.
Good.
Or you can look me up under Gisela Bankford.
Mm-hmm.
The titles are Wolfie's Adventure, An Unlikely Friendship, and Wolfie's Adventure Away from Home. And the third book is by the publisher. It's the end of the trilogy, the end and the beginning of the trilogy. It's called Wolfie's Adventure, Lost and Found.
Beautiful. I like the series idea because then we can become very familiar with the character and we can get involved easier. And I like that. So that's a nice vehicle as well. Gisela,
yes.
It's been a pleasure speaking to you. And I hope a lot of people can enjoy and learn and feel good.
I hope so too. And now let's go back to the couch, right?
Yes. Well, there is something on TV rather soon. Thank you, Gisela.
Have a wonderful day. Okay. Thanks, everyone. And happy Patterson Fair. Bye.
Take care. Well, that'll do it for me today. You've been wonderful. I'll be back again on Monday with a brand new program. Thank you to my guest, and thank you to you. And I wish you peace.